This is a Dragon Blazer production.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Apologist Podcast. I'm Craig Atkins, and this is my kayfabe brother, the heartburn kid, Steven Rayburg.
I don't know if I support that name, but kind of accurate.
Yeah. So we're here to watch AEW Fighter Fest. Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen.
Third AEW in a row with a pay-per-view style show.
Yeah. And first off, Steven, how's your week been?
It's been an all right week. Done quite a few podcasts this week. Potting it up on all my podcasts. I have a lot. I've got a new show about to start. So, yeah, it's not a bad week.
He does a Unsolved Mysteries podcast with our friend Keystone over here. You want to say hi?
Hi. My name is not Keystone. Craig's just a dick.
I prefer Keystone Light.
Keystone Light. Kazea over here. She's chilling with us.
Making a blanket.
Wishing that she didn't have to watch wrestling with us.
That's very, very true.
We appreciate that you deal with it.
We just enjoy torturing her.
It's okay. I tortured Steven last night. It was great.
It was not great. She kept playing this Shane Dawson guy repeatedly, and his songs are terrible.
Shane Dawson. That is not a subject for this podcast, but we might have to cover it in a future episode of Bring In the Murder Hornets.
Yes.
I've been reading some stuff about Shane Dawson. But we will get into it on that podcast, not this pro wrestling podcast.
I'm not even bringing up the rest of the stuff, just his music is terrible.
All right. I didn't even know he had music.
Just have bad taste.
All right. No. We're getting into this podcast. The first match, the American Nightmare Cody, no last name Cody, versus the Concrete Rose, Sunny Kiss, and Steven, take it from here.
So this was a pretty decent match.
Yeah, I liked it.
Really showcased Sunny Kiss quite a bit.
Yes, very good showcase for Sunny.
Most of my notes that I took on this match all featured Sunny as the main part of the move. The first thing I noticed that was pretty cool was a spinning forearm that Sunny did on Cody after Cody bounced off the ropes. And then there was that handspring forearm reversed by Cody, into a full Nelson.
Yeah. Cody kind of playing a bit of a heel.
Yeah, a little bit.
In the match. I mean, that ends after the bell rings, but during the match, he was kind of playing the heel.
Yeah, he was kind of aggressive and doing some heel stuff. He took off the, turnbuckle, later on in the match. Then we get another Matrix Dodge. Cody goes in for a running clothesline, and Sunny does this Matrix Dodge and transitions it to a handstand leg takedown. He got in a handstand, grabbed Cody by the head with his legs, and took him down. It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was very athletic, very, very fun move.
And we forgot, Sonny's entrance was pretty cool. He comes out dancing with some cheerleaders.
Yeah, very, very skilled dancer. Then there was Cody was on the ground, and Sonny does a splits leg drop and misses. That looked painful. super yeah. painful. but right afterwards, Sonny makes this beautiful 450 splash.
Yeah. It was great. It was picture perfect.
Yeah, it was very good. If I'm going to be honest with you, Sonny kind of, I felt, deserved to win this match.
I mean, it was definitely better, worlds better than the Cody and Hager match.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Absolutely.
I mean, a very different match.
Maybe if it wasn't for the title, I feel Sonny should have won. I don't know if Sonny's ready for a title. I don't know much about him, but he was really impressed, and he impressed me in this match.
Yep.
But Cody grabbed Sonny, put him on his back, and dropped him on his head.
Yeah. I don't know what you call that move. But it's like...
I don't know. But and then Cody finishes it off with a punishing crossroads.
Killer. A killer crossroads.
Yeah. It was devastating. And
he puts a little more oomph in it in AEW than he did in WWE.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I can definitely see someone losing to that move. That was really, really damaging looking. But yeah, and he gets the 1-2-3 after that, and Cody wins, and then
they embrace,
big hug afterwards. It was very nice.
Yep. Very good match.
Very good sign of respect. Great opener. And that's the end of that match.
Yep, moving on. All right, now we're going to the next match. The Lucha Brothers catch a ride with Butcher and Blade. And they're coming out to the ring, and they're facing FTR. There you go, Steve.
All right. So, unfortunately, I have...
Oh, by the way, we learned FTR, according to their screen. I don't know if this has been revealed before, but it says FTR stands for Fuck the Rest.
Yeah, that's what it said on the Titantron there.
It's not a Titantron.
It's not a Titantron?
No. It's not Titan. This is AEW.
Ah. All right.
It's the Turnertron, maybe?
Not sure. So I've got a lot of notes on this one. Unfortunately, it starts with Lucha Brothers botching a...
Yeah, it was a little bit of botch. Like, they little botch.
Tried to jump off the ropes, and then like Phoenix tries to pick up Pentagon, and it appears
splash.
Yeah, to do a splash, and then can't lift him.
Bridges it a little.
Twice?
Pentagon's been packing on some quarantine pounds. His brother's having a hard time lifting him.
And they eventually get the splash, but it definitely was awkward. But after that botch, I mean, this match was
great match.
Really hard to keep up with. It was a great match. Had a lot of great spots to it. FTR, shortly after that botch, they do a nice backbreaker. That and then I don't remember which one was which. I didn't write that down, but it was
the bald one.
Is Dax does a slingshot Dax elbow drop.
Harwood.
Well, I just don't remember which was which at that time. I've got it caught up on the rest of these. Then the Lucha Brothers do a rolling powerbomb, followed by a kick to the face on Cash. That was pretty cool. Dax does a nice snap suplex, followed by another suplex on Phoenix that lands on Pentagon. Phoenix then jumps on Pentagon's shoulders, then gives him a splash.
Like, splashes all around.
A lot of splashes. a lot of fun tag team moves in this one. Like Cash putting Phoenix up on his shoulders and Dax dropping him with the bulldog.
Yeah.
Then there was the... So Dax does a superplex on Phoenix. And then both teams do top rope splashes that get countered with their knees.
Knees up.
Yeah, knees up.
They both kind of have to help each other up and do like a face-to-face as they're all like catching a breath and helping each other.
Yeah. And then I believe it was Cash doing a suicide dive into a DDT on Pentagon. That was really cool. That was
really cool.
And it ends with Phoenix doing a rebound super kick on Dax. He succeeds on that one, but then he tries again, but Dax dodges this one. And then Dax takes off.
Just rips his mask off.
Rips it off, then rolls him up for the pin.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool finish. A little bit of a heel.
A little heelish. A
little heel. And, good match.
That's the way it ended. Well, and then right afterwards we get...
We had the...
Young Bucks.
Well, the Butcher and the Blade are standing there. You know, they're mad that their buddies, the Lucha Brothers, got defeated. And the Bucks sneak up behind them, super kick them, as the Bucks do. They get in the ring. Omega joins them with a cooler. He's going to share some beers that have the names very poorly crossed out. They were Miller Lights. And he comes out to share beers with FTR to kind of, you know, do a little make good for the beer spillage from last week. And they spill the beer on Omega's head.
Alcohol abuse. It's very sad.
Yeah. They're like, fuck the rest of you guys. We're FTR. We're out.
And then they go to their truck that they gave the Young Bucks gave them the keys to and can't start it.
Yeah. I don't think that was intentional.
Yeah.
I think it was Cash Wheeler was the one trying to start the truck. He's trying to start, and then right before they go, he's like struggling, and then right before they go to break, you see him just kind of put his hands up like, what? So I don't think that was intentional. I think that was a little...
Yeah.
A little whoopsies. Apparently they couldn't start the truck. Somebody must have left. I think Butcher and the Blade probably left the radio on during that match and drained the battery.
Terrible time for a stall, but, you know.
Yeah. And today, FTR stands for fuck, the reverse doesn't work. All right, moving on to the next one.
All right.
Now we've got Jericho comes out, Le Champion, with Hager, Ortiz, and Santana, Steven.
Isn't Santana a guitarist?
Not the guitarist, Santana. Andrew... Had a brain aneurysm. My brother Andrew had just about a brain aneurysm listening to our podcast because you kept on calling him Santino and
Santa Marella.
Don't you know that's what Steven does? He fucks up names and he comes up with the weirdest shit ever.
Yeah. So it's Santana, Steven. Jericho says he had one of the best matches in AEW history last week with Orange Cassidy.
That's high praise.
It is. He brags that he won in the 18 to 49 demographic. He's out there bragging about cable ratings. He owns that demo now, and he's come up with a new nickname for himself. He's now the Demo God. So he's the pain maker, the... Le Champion, who doesn't even have a belt anymore, but he still calls himself Le Champion.
Names were like immediately null and void if you created them yourself. Like, I'm that, sorry, that's the story that I was always told.
Yeah, I think nicknames should be, that's why Steven is the heartburn kid. So now Jericho is the Demo God. He knows money, and he knows Orange wants a rematch. And the important Demo wants the rematch. AEW wants the rematch. He says, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one. There's no rematch. The makeshift crowd starts chanting, you scared, you scared. And they take some OJ, they take a sip, and they pour some OJ out for Orange's dead career. And Orange comes out. Jericho calls him lazy. He's not lazy. Calls him a sloth, come on. Entitled? No. He reiterates that there will never be a rematch. So you can take those sunglasses, fold them up, and shove them up your ass. Get out of my arena, you piece of shit. Orange slowly brings his thumbs up, and then slowly turns into a thumbs down, and then gallons of orange juice and orange peels start falling all over the ring onto the inner circle.
Is that not the biggest fuck you to anybody ever? Like, outside of the wrestling thing.
Take that. Take all the orange juice. that's acidic, gets in your eyes.
And some orange peels came down too.
Some orange peels were falling down there too.
Pelted by little orange peels.
Ortiz starts just like flopping all over the place. Throwing a fit.
Very slapstick comedy type stuff.
Someone threw a towel in for Jericho. He starts wiping off his face and it's a giant Orange Cassidy towel. Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this greatly.
It was wonderful.
Orange is he's a star. So we go next to Jurassic Express for an interview. A little Marco stunt finds the OJ situation really funny. He's just laughing away at it. Luchasaurus says it's not a laughing matter. What's more important is that for the first time in 65 million years, Luchasaurus gets to face the Elite. So, yeah, looking forward to that match.
Yeah.
Then Jericho joins for commentaries, still a little pissed off about the OJ situation that just happened. They're watching recaps. He's throwing a fit about the recaps. Like, look how pissed off I am. Look how pissed off I am.
I'm furious.
I'm furious. He throws a fit about the towel. He's complaining about the towel. And then Excalibur notes that the towel is available on AEW shop. And
then Jericho tells him he can take that towel on AEW.com and shove it straight up his ass.
Yeah. And Jericho says that this isn't over. There will be a rematch. So, yeah, get to look forward to that. And now we're going on to our next match that I'm really anticipating. It's Jurassic Express versus the Elite, two of my favorite teams in wrestling.
All right, here we go.
All right, so Jurassic Express comes out with the whole pyro and everything.
Marco's stunned on their shoulders.
No, it was Jungle Boy.
Oh,
is Jungle Boy on Luchasaurus' shoulders, and then Marco like runs under his legs.
Ah, gotcha.
And then the Elite come out with the Super Kick Party theme song. And
Cash
we have
falling from the sky.
The Bucks. And we have the match.
All right.
And we have Jericho in commentary throughout all of this match. And just like it's been a really hard task for Steven to keep up with the moves for this match. It was hard for me to keep up with Jericho in commentary. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, this was a fun match, too.
Yeah.
This is...
Yeah, it's my match of the night so far.
Probably, yeah, same. So, it starts out, one of the first interesting spots was, Jungle Boy and Nick doing competing slingshot whoop tosses. They did some bouncy off the ropes and ended with the whip toss. Marco then comes in and does a bunch of...
We have the dream matchup of Marco Stunt and Kenny Omega.
Yeah. Marco does some fun speedy stuff on Kenny, like a head scissors takedown. Then poor Marco gets kicked in the head while flossing. Mm-hmm. Poor guy.
Doing his little floss.
On the outside
of the... They dance. He was not dental flossing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have corrected myself. The flossing dance.
Yeah.
Or as I know it as the Backpack Kid Dance. on the outside of the ring, Jungle Boy does a thunderous clothesline on Kenny. and then jumps on the ropes.
That was a loud one.
Yeah. And then does a slingshot DDT on Matt. Then Kenny does three devastating snap suplexes on all three members of the Jurassic Express. They looked... I feel like they should have been dead. Those snap suplexes are rough.
Yeah. He lands them pretty hard.
Then the Elite does a triple pile driver on Luchasaurus. That was a really cool spot.
At some point here, Jericho says he wants to see Luchasaurus' birth certificate as he doubts the legitimacy of him being a dinosaur.
No, he is. It's true. Marco tries to copy Sonny's 450 splash with much slightly less impressive results.
Where Jericho says, if a Kleenex does a 450 splash, that doesn't mean he's going to pin you.
Yeah. However, his flipping pile driver from the top rope was frighteningly impressive.
Yeah.
And fortunately...
Oh, and Hangman and FTR are hanging out in a bar drinking during all this. It starts with just Hangman by himself, where the screen, the name tag on the screen says that he's, what does it say, unlicensed bartender.
Unfortunately for Marco, Kenny Omega ends the match with his one wing angel, gets the pin. Yeah. Well, on a 5'2" guy, everything was pretty brutal on him. And then Kenny gets the pin and, 1-2-3.
Yeah. Good match. Then afterward, Kenny, kind of like climbs over Marco and like holds his hand. Like at first, I didn't know if he was trying to do like a respect thing with him. And then he just starts pummeling him. He starts punching him in the head while he's laid out.
Yeah.
Sort of a heel turn for Kenny Omega.
Or at least the start of one. I'm not sure what to think of it.
And the Bucks try to hold him back and stop him from beating down on poor little Marco.
Yeah, I thought he was going to attack the Bucks too and finish off the heel turn. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. It looks like we're getting a heel Kenny.
Yeah. I think that'll definitely lead to the split of the tag team champions, I'm assuming, after they lose titles. What seemed like it was going to be a Hangman heel turn. Like, I don't know if they're gonna... Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna be the split with a babyface drunken Hangman who was really popular with crowds when crowds were a thing. Yeah. Or if maybe just the duo both turn heel and feud with the Bucks, feud with FTR. So I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, last week... Kenny did a little heelish thing on the dumping of the beer. So I think they're just setting something up.
All right. Let's move right along. Okay, we got a brief Moxley promo. He's fighting for the Fallen. He's got a hell of a challenge ahead of him. He's going to re-rip the torn bicep of Cage. And now we go into the
super exciting women's tag team match between the Nightmare Sisters, Brandi Rhodes, and Allie. You said she's the bunny?
She used to be the bunny. Earlier in the show, I was wondering, whatever happened to the bunny? And now I see that she's in a tag team. I don't know. I don't watch enough AEW, so I don't know how she went from being the bunny to Allie. Whatever.
Well, they're facing what AEW says is their debut match on AEW. I think they're just jobbers,
probably last match, I'm guessing. I don't know, unless they're part of the roster.
Kenzie Page and MJ Jenkins with
Jenkins.
Dr. Britt Baker looking on from the outside.
Sister of Leroy Jenkins.
Sorry, the Nightmare Sisters. I wasn't even watching that much, and I was able to see that the Nightmare Sisters were just obliterating these two other bitches.
Yeah, they did because it was a squash match.
It's what we call a squash match.
I literally was putting in the names of all of the wrestlers, and then the match ended. it was that quick.
It's where you're pushing a new star, and you just throw them in there with some random talent that is just
normally
there to take
local
the pin,
talent.
Basically.
They get someone,
but in this situation, they could be. I mean, they might be part of the roster. I don't know. AEW doesn't have a deep women's roster. WWE's like killing it on their women's roster, but AEW's is kind of,
yeah,
you know, they got a few really good ones, and you know, they're still building. It's a new company.
Well,
but carry on, Steven.
Carry on.
Well, it's over.
just like that.
Allie finishes off with a little elbow drop after she kisses the air. On, I believe it was Jobber MJ Jenkins. and gets the 1-2-3. Like I said, I literally wasn't done writing everyone's name before this match was over.
She got
it was
tagged
that
in.
Quick.
She's like, Mackenzie Jenkins. And she's ready.
And over.
Immediately.
I don't know. Both girls got to be in there for like 2 seconds. And then they lost.
All right, moving along.
All right.
Okay, so Nia Rose comes out, and she's got a new manager.
Excuse me!
I said she's got a new manager.
Excuse me!
I said she's got this new manager.
Excuse me!
I think you figured out by now. It's Vicky Guerrero!
Oh, I had no idea.
This bitch, honestly, like, I've seen her once, and this bitch does not need to be anybody's manager. She needs to be asking for the manager at a Walmart or somewhere.
She does look like a Karen.
She's the
now,
Karen
Now, we
of
all
wrestling.
Like Vicky Guerrero. She's great. She's funny. She's interesting.
She's Karen.
The great wife of the great wife of the late, great Eddie Guerrero.
I'm glad
to see her in AEW.
I didn't realize that was a bit. I just thought Kazuya was being annoying again.
You know what, Steven?
All right.
Excuse me!
She's like my human soundboard.
She wants to talk.
Hey, so Steven, what's coming up next?
Excuse me!
Little delayed.
All right,
she wants to speak to our manager.
I would like, Craig, I need to speak to your manager right now.
My manager is apparently Steven. He's,
yep.
He's
yep.
My producer.
I'm the manager. Boom.
You're a shitty manager, sir.
Yeah, probably.
Can I speak to your higher up, please?
I don't have one.
Well, then that's me. It's a weird hierarchy. Like, I don't know. He's my manager, but then I'm his boss. And then Gizmo, his cat, is actually... The
Gizmo's
head of
like
this entire
CEO
operation.
Like he's
the CEO of Dragon Blazer Productions.
Doesn't that name suck, though?
I know, it does suck. Okay, moving along. I do inform him that it sucks all the time. All right. Main event.
Cutting that out.
All right. So, main event. We got Brian Cage coming out with Taz and the... FTW champ. He is announced as the FTW champion, and then Moxley comes out down some stairs through
the crowd.
Crowd to the crowd through a smattering of crowd.
So we get a main event title match in. The ending of this show is kind of
it's
lackluster.
I like Moxley, but he's not an exciting champion, and just like he wasn't in WWE.
Well, as I was telling you while we were watching, there's a lot of very athletic, very interesting, and enjoyable wrestlers.
That's not to say he. I don't think it's not to say he shouldn't be the champion. I get it.
No, I mean,
Jericho was more fun as a champion, so I get it. And I'm fine with it. It just it just has to be a step down from the rest of the show. Just because it was a good show.
It was this was a slowdown. Pretty much we got pretty much everything I have note wise is Cage. Cage rams into John like a truck with his arm.
Big dude.
I'm sorry, it was a clothesline. Moxley does do a suicide dive later on. Then Cage suplexes John into a steel barrier that they take
off. And the story throughout the entire match is Moxley constantly trying to attack the arm. He was trying to re-tear the bicep and just doing a lot of brutal moves on Cage's arm.
Which actually fits for the end. Cage also picks John up to his shoulders and drops him with a swinging neck breaker. Later on, Cage suplexes John on a steel chair. Like, there was some brutal stuff. I mean, this wasn't a terrible match.
No, it was good.
It was just kind of, compared to the rest of the show, and the fact that it was a main event, it was just kind of a disappointing compared. I guess if we're grading on a curve, it's not great. But for what it was, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Cage does this was kind of cool. Cage does a suplex off the middle rope. He grabs Moxley and picks him up from the middle rope and does a suplex. Don't see that very often.
Yeah.
Then Moxley does a very painful submission to Cage's arm. It looked...
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was...
An arm bar, but he... he snaps that arm bar.
Yeah, it looked painful. It really did. And this causes Taz to throw in the towel, and Moxley retains the title.
Well, yep, still the champ. And then the lights go out. And
Cage kind of starts to attack Moxley with his FTW first.
Yeah, he starts attacking Moxley, and the lights go out. And Darby Allin makes his big return after a couple weeks of skating with his bros in black and white.
Yeah.
When the lights come on, he's on the top rope. He dives at Cage and whacks him in the head with his skateboard and gets up and kind of does a little respect thing with Moxley. I was hoping Darby would also whack Moxley with his skateboard, but he did not.
Darby Allin a heel or a face?
No, he's a baby face.
Come on, okay. I'm just starting to watch AEW, so I'm still learning a lot of these wrestlers.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's our show. That's our coverage of Fight for the Fallen. The third week in a row of AEW specials. it's been a fun 3 weeks. We're not going to be covering AEW regularly like this. We'll cover, things that happen on our regular shows.
I'll talk about it on my week in wrestling.
Yes.
And if we have any more AEW TV specials, we might do them, depending on.
Yeah.
But, this isn't going to be a weekly thing. We had three AEW
pay-per-view
style shows that back to back to back. So we just decided to do them.
Okay, just three backs. So we're going to be back with you this weekend to watch the horror show at Extreme Rules, which is what it is titled now. It's not Extreme Rules, the horror show anymore. It's the horror show at Extreme Rules WWE event this weekend. It's I think it's going to be a little lighter on the wrestling than what we've been seeing, but it's going to be a whole lot heavier on the batshit. We've got now this is being recorded Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, so SmackDown has not happened yet. So this is our card for now. It could change,
and we're going to give our predictions on this.
Yes, we got Apollo Crews versus MVP. For now, it's just a singles match for the United States Championship.
I'm thinking Apollo Crews.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely going to be Apollo. And he's going to have that shiny new United States Championship belt that was revealed. Mm-hmm. That's fun. We're going to have some Bayley versus Nikki Cross, another singles match for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
This is tough.
No, it's not. It's Bayley.
It's Bayley?
Yeah, it's definitely Bayley. Come on.
Yeah, it's probably Bayley.
Nothing tough about it. We got Asuka versus Sasha Banks, singles match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship.
I don't see Asuka losing it yet.
I don't see her losing it. But the question is, does Sasha lose because of some sort of Bayley, some sort of Bayley interference? Because Bayley and Sasha—they're the tag champs right now, and Bayley is the SmackDown champ. So, I mean, we could go with Sasha winning the title, and then they're both the double champs. It's a possibility, and it would be interesting. And I think whatever happens in this match is kind of the catalyst that's going to be setting up their inevitable SummerSlam feud coming up soon. I think we're keep Bayley's been killing it as a heel. She's been Karen Bayley basically, with the talk to the manager haircut, and she's been great as a heel. Sasha, I think, will make a great return to being a babyface, and I think they're going to have a great feud. And that whatever happens in this match, I do think Asuka retains. I think Bayley's going to try to interfere to help Sasha and have it backfire or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we've also got Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt in the Wyatt Swamp fight. I think it's being advertised as Braun Strowman facing the old Wyatt character, the cult leader Wyatt character. I think we're going to be seeing the three faces of Wyatt in this match, though. I think we're seeing Funhouse Bray, we're seeing Swamp Bray, and we're seeing The Fiend, I think. This is not for a title.
Well, if it's not for the title, I think Bray wins.
Yeah, I think Bray wins. And I think this feud continues on to SummerSlam, where I think Bray will end up taking the title back, and it's going to be just a straight-up Fiend versus Braun match. But this one is not non-title, so yeah, I definitely think that Bray wins this one.
Now, do we think that this is going to be as batshit crazy as the John Cena non-fight?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty nutty. I think this one's going to be a nutty one.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. We got Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler in a match that has yet to be decided. So, judging from the next match that I'm going to announce on this card, who knows what kind of match this could be. It could be a spleen removal match. It could be a got your nose match, where the winner just removes the opponent's nose. I think it's going to be a I got your nose match for the WWE Championship.
I see.
What do you think, Steven? You don't think it's an I got your nose match?
I think whatever match it is, Drew wins.
Yeah, Drew wins. Drew will be removing the nose of Dolph Ziggler to retain the WWE Championship. Which brings us to the next match. Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. Somebody's having their eyeball removed. This is an eye for an eye match where the match can only be won when one competitor extracts the eyeball of their opponent. That is the literal description on Wikipedia for this match. We are going to see one man's eyeball removed in a sanctioned professional wrestling match.
I suppose it is the horror show, so sure.
A fitting pay-per-view for the middle of July and not Halloween.
Halloween in July, right? That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
I feel that Rey Mysterio's son is going to get involved and help Rey win.
I feel that Rey Mysterio's son, Dominic, will get involved and help Seth win.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You think Dominic is going to go heel?
He's going to rip his daddy's eyeball out.
Wow, that's dark.
I think Dom Mysterio will cause his father to lose an eyeball on this night.
I see.
So, I would like you all to retain your eyeballs to watch this show, and more importantly, your ears, so you can hear us discuss this show this weekend after the show. So, Steven, you got pluggables.
I do. I have the Dragon Blazer Productions page on Facebook. I have the Dragon Blazer Productions page on Instagram.
With a shiny new logo created.
With a shiny new logo created by...
my brother Andrew.
Yep. Craig's brother Andrew made us a pretty awesome Dragon Blazer Productions logo.
Made you. I mean, didn't...
Made me.
It's not for me.
Not for
any
you.
Any part of that shit.
For me. All right. And then my Twitter is at DragonBlazerPro at DragonBlazerPro.
And you follow the show at PW Apologists. And until then, we love pro wrestling. And sometimes that's okay. Even when there's eyeball removal.
Even
in sanctioned matches.
I don't know. That might be where I draw
that's
the line.
Okay. That's not okay. But everything else about pro wrestling, sometimes that's okay.
Sometimes.